How do you view Theresa May's speech?
I think that in many ways it's very welcome to get a degree of clarity about the process of leaving the European Union going forward. So in that respect, it answered a lot of questions. I suspect it's raised as many, but I think it's progress in terms of beginning to resolve what's going to be the most important thing Britain does over the next several years.
This talk of tax havens now. If we do a tax haven, how is that going to impact on the economy, given that we won't be getting taxes from businesses?
I don't think they quite put it in those terms. I think what we're trying to say here is that if there isn't a satisfactory deal, a framework for a deal during the period up to us leaving, that two-year period from triggering Article 50, then Britain has to do something. It was really pointing out to Europe that the economic logic is to go down that route if there isn't a deal. That was really the point that the Chancellor was making. So I don't think the proposals become a tax haven. It was merely the Chancellor pointing out that if we don't have a deal, then that's the direction Britain has to go or may well have to go in economic terms.
Do you think there was an element of posturing as part of talks, or do you think this was the hardline speech that it was meant to be?
I think, obviously, you know, there's a hell of a lot of conversations to be had. It seems to me that there are three things that need to happen. One is that the government has to trigger Article 50, and they've said there'll be a vote in Parliament, and I note that Jeremy Corbyn has said that he will expect his members to support that vote. So that process is underway. The next bit, and I think, is that in order to conclude that Article 50 process, there has to be a framework of the deal, if you like, the future relationship, at least the day after we leave, between Britain and the European Union. And that's, I think, really where some of the tricky conversations are coming. And that is, I think, where some of the, if you like, on both sides, posturing has been going on.
In a recent survey, 9 out of 10 people said, regardless where they stood on staying in the EU or not, they wanted to remain within the single market. Is this going against the public, given that the referendum was supposed to be about what the public wanted?
Well, I don't think that's what they... I've certainly seen at least one poll that gave the opposite. We said that somewhere around about 59% of people were quite content to leave the single market if that was a prerequisite of leaving the European Union. So I set the premise of that, and I don't think in any way, shape or form that we're going against the people should we leave the single market. My views is that we probably need to try and... Part of the negotiation needs to be trying to retain some of those elements of that single market, even if we actually end up not being part of its customs union.
So which parts would you try and retain?
Well, I'm not the wrong person to ask, really. On this
no, your personal opinion.
I think there is some pretty important stuff around. Basically, I think it's everybody's interest to have low tariffs and limited restrictions on trade between different places. One of the criticisms of the European Union is that whilst there's lots of open trade within the Union, outside of it, it imposes, I think, something like 12,500 different restrictions, barriers and tariffs on imports into the European Union. And that's one of the things we want to get out of. So what we need to do is actually begin to have the conversation about saying to the EU, okay, what's the best deal for you? What's the best deal for us? And I think the best deal for everyone is something pretty close in terms of access to the current situation with regards to tariffs. What we don't want to be in a situation is where they can simply start passing more and more rules and restricting our ability to actually do deals with other places.
Well, the European Parliamentary Negotiator on Brexit, Verhofstadt, has said that Britain can no longer cherry-pick and can't have Europe à la carte. Well, surely that's not going to fit with your personal view, is it?
That's his personal view as well. I think his personal view has about as much credibility as mine, in fact, probably less. The reality is that every European nation seeks to cherry-pick as far as the European Union, whether they're members or not. And they all try to seek slight exemptions and variations and differences within it in order to protect their own national interests. All that Britain is doing is being honest about it, unlike every other European country. I actually don't accept his arguments. I think his argument is just, and most of what he says is just ridiculous grandstanding. And it would actually help if people like him were a little bit more honest and open about the situation we're in, rather than actually trying to pretend that if he shouts louder, if something isn't the case, it's going to be the case.
Now, you mentioned tariffs, Nergis, but if we're outside of the single market, then we'll be on the World Trade Organization's rules, which means we're paying a lot higher tariffs in our exchanges with the EU. Is this not going to put a drain on the economy?
Well, to answer that question, one, we have to assume, we're making an assumption that in any process of dealing with the European Union, we don't end up with a deal that agrees levels of tariff. I would want them to be as close to zero as possible. And I suspect most businesses would want that. I suspect most European businesses would want their engagement with Britain to be as close to zero tariff as possible. What the World Trade Organization does is protect us. It protects us from, and Europe for that matter, from punitive, targeted tariffs. So the European Union could not put a tariff on us that is different from a tariff on anybody else, and they could not put a tariff on us that is in excess in those areas where the World Trade Organization agreements apply, which is higher than the agreed level of tariff. So in other words, you know, what we have is a situation whereby the World Trade Organization actually provides us with a framework and a protection from Europe doing those punishment beatings that Boris Johnson referred to.
If we're looking at being outside of the single market in Europe, then we're going to have to create all these new individual trade deals. Is it possible to get it done within the timescale?
I don't think there's any chance of getting any number of trade deals done within 2 years. I think one of the concerns I have about the process is that, which is why I think there needs to be some kind of transition, some kind of stage process agreed as part of doing those 2 years, because we're going to leave the single market, we take an economic hit by doing so, because the chances are we're going to have some tariff barriers and other barriers put in the way. That's fine if we balanced that by being able to open access to markets which currently, because of the European Union, are less able to access. And that's the point. And I think really is the case that it's going to be very, very difficult for us to conclude any large number of deals in that 2 year period. So yeah, I think there needs to be some kind of transition. It remains to be seen. And certainly that's what the government seems to be hinting at. It remains to be seen whether that's something that can be discussed and negotiated.
Given this hard line which we're hearing now, how much of that do you think is prompted around the free movement of people and the whole issue of immigration?
I think the whole question of getting control over immigration sits at one of my personal views, and I'm basically essentially pro-immigration. The situation we have here is that it's very clear, and it has been, that the political imperative in Britain, and this is only partly about the vote in June, is that people believe that we're having to free and easy when it comes to immigration. And so they want to exercise some control over that. We need to have a discussion about in Britain, because it's about our policy towards people coming to live and work here that is the thing that matters here. And that's actually going to be a really interesting debate, because business knows that some important business, the health business and the social care business, as well as, you know, other things like hospitality, depend to a degree on immigration. And if we aren't able to do that, then we've got to ask ourselves how we actually meet the needs that are there. So there's some real big questions and a really important debate to be had, but it runs slightly parallel to the discussions about leaving the EU, in my view.